So this is my first stab at doing a multi-part series of messages. And coming out of the Spring Holy Days, having the special music and the offertory that we had, you raised me up, talking about seeing the value in who we are and coming through unleavened bread and knowing that what it symbolizes for us, right? We have Passover, and we take that. But if you're looking at the scheme of God's plan in His holy days, we're taken in, and He's willing to die for us before we've actually started putting sin out, right? And then we start putting the sin out, and we're taken in Christ. We're taken in His body, His blood. And it's not for another 50 days until the Holy Spirit comes. So we're looking at that overarching scheme of what God has set up and how He's working with us. And I think that it's very timely for us. And it's been a while since I've heard a message on it. This is kind of like why are you here? Why were you born? But I think it's nice to break it down and get into the nitty-gritty. So we're going to talk today about what is our potential. I think it's an important question for us to ask. If you haven't asked the question yet, now's a good time. If you have asked the question, but it's been a while, it's always good for us to revisit these things and come back to it, because we need to know this. We need to know what our potential is. If you're like me and you want to know something, there are two places to go. You can pray and ask God and go to His Word, and you can Google it. Right? So you have two options. Having an understanding of what your potential is, it gives clarity. It gives understanding. It can give you vision. It can kind of give you maybe some steps that you take to be able to move forward. Because unless you know what your potential is, you're sitting going, whoa, I don't know. What is my potential? What am I going to do? Maybe I'll just sit at home and play video games. Maybe I'll be an endless college student. I've been there. Whatever the case is. Right? So I actually did Google it, and if you put in the phrase, what is your potential, or what is my potential, 832 million hits. In 0.51 seconds. That's insane. People want to know this stuff. People want to know, what is my potential? What am I supposed to be able to do? And here are a couple of the headings of what I got back as a response. A couple of these websites that you can go to, and their catchphrases or their responses says, discover your personal potential. What is mine? How to realize your true potential. 7 concrete steps to reaching your full potential. What does achieving your potential really mean? How to know and grow your potential. You know, there are actually entire industries built on this. You can probably think of some pretty motivational speakers that make bank talking to people about what their potential is and what they can do. And people pay hundreds, thousands of dollars to go and hear these individuals speak. Those speakers, they'll net a 5 to 6 figure speaking fee to come to these events and motivate people, because they want people to have a vision of something that is beyond themselves, to be able to get an inkling of what their potential might be. And I think it's very apropos for us that there are scriptures where people start getting into this line of questioning. If you wanted to mark down, actually, you know what, let's turn there. Psalm 8. This is not a new question. You're a little less city than Phoenix is, so you can actually see stars at night. If you go out at night, you've got beautiful clouds, wonderful vistas. I was talking to Mr. Ford before services. He was talking about being up on the Mesa yesterday, being able to, you can watch weather systems come through. You look out, and if you don't have this same kind of thought process that we read about here in Psalm 8:4, you're just not alive. Check your pulse, because you look out and you say, what is man? Psalm 8 verse 4, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Who are we? We're so small. You watch any of the Planet Earth series, you watch Buzz Aldrin video footage of the Apollo programs, and you're looking out at this tiny little gem of an Earth, You hear about all these manned missions now. I guess SpaceX is going to try to get to Mars. They did their first launch and landed it back on land and on the water for their booster rockets. People want to know. They want to go out and they want to look and they want to find out about this stuff. Because it affects who we are and how we live our life. It's very important for us to know. So we're going to look at two aspects of potential today. The first is, how do we as humans define our potential? How do we define our potential? When we ask, what is my potential? What do you start doing? And you can do a pros and cons list. Okay, so I'm good at this. I can type 75 words a minute. I can, you know, so what could I do with that? And we kind of ask the question, when we get into how we define potential, we ask the question, what can I become? You know, what can I do with what I've got? Right? What is my potential? There's actually a big deep school of thought if you're in social sciences. My background is in social sciences. And this concept of what is called self-actualization. Big bit of social sciences. And here's what the definition is of self-actualization. It is the achievement of one's full potential through creativity, independence, spontaneity, and a grasp of the real world. So you bundle all that stuff in. It's about reaching your full potential. Finding out what you're good at. Being creative, being independent. There are researchers that have gone through this. A very popular individual is Maslow. If you haven't heard about Maslow, he did a nice triangle. And it's called the hierarchy of needs. So you have on the very bottom. Okay, you start at the bottom. We all start at the bottom of the ladder, start at the bottom of the pyramid, and we say, okay, am I safe? I've got a fence around my where I am, or I've got shelter, and so, okay, my safety is met. And so then you get into these other needs, and the very pinnacle at the top of the pyramid is self-actualization. You're like, oh, there's a means to get there. We can get to the top of the pyramid. And so all these social scientists and all these researchers, they ask people, you know, how do you reach your potential? What is it that you want to go for? And guess what Maslow said? It's about a 1% chance. So, according to Maslow, only 1% of all individuals actually self-actualize. Say that a few times fast. So, only 1% of people reach their true potential. A big part of knowing what our potential is understanding what that end goal should be. Let's get into that. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Understanding how we look at potential is important because we're human beings, and guess what? When we wake up, or when we look at things, or when we have a perspective, it's ours, based on who we are, based on our upbringing, based on our desires, based on other people's influences. We're an individual. And so when we look at things, we have to take stock in how we look at life. What are our biases? But there are some generalizations that we can make as we look across the broad spectrum of people. We can also use the scriptures here to let us know how do people think, how do people view potential. Ephesians chapter 4, we're in verse 11. We read the scripture. It says, and he, referencing Jesus Christ, says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. So we see here, there are these different roles that are defined. So what is your potential? You're like, could I be a doctor? Could I be a scientist? Could I be an astronaut? Could I be a teacher, a lawyer, a mom, a minister, a biochemist, an engineer? So we think about these things and we're like, okay, what is my potential? What is that spiritual gift that God has given me that I can use, that I can make sure that I'm maximizing my potential? And we've all heard the topics of conversation, I think, where we go, are you using the talents that God gave you? If you haven't heard that from your parents, from your friends, I'll be the first one to tell you. Are you using the talents that God gave you? It's a good question for us to ask. And we ask that as people. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1. Another way that we can look at our potential and how we define it. Revelation chapter 1. Obviously, when we're looking at potential, we're talking about this today. We're trying not to just take a secular worldview of potential. We're obviously looking at it through the lens in the scripture. And I think that a lot of these scriptures get used quite often when we're talking about, you know, what is our potential. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. Talking about what we will become. And it says, we'll start the second half of verse 5. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, which is very apropos as we're looking back to Passover and coming through the days of unleavened bread. So he's washed us in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So now we're upping the ante. We're not just talking about could I be an astronaut. We're not just talking about could I be an engineer or a teacher or something like that. Now, kings and priests, president, you know, he wants us to be there. He's washed us in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, which by extension is our God and our Father. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 18. We continue to look at how we tend to look at this concept of our potential. Matthew chapter 18, we're going to start at the beginning of that chapter, read a few verses there. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. It's important to note that this event is smack dab in the middle of Jesus' last Passover with his disciples. They're sitting around the table, they're eating, and this is the conversation that they have. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" They're kind of saying, well, okay, who's going to be the best king? Who's going to be the number one priest? Who's going to have that position? We know that James and John's mother, in other recordings, said, "Well, what can you make it so that my son sit on your right hand? Or for you, on your right hand and on your left hand. Have them be there. Your number one and your number two. Give them that position." So they're asking Jesus Christ at the evening of Passover there. And he says, "Who then is the greatest in heaven?" And Jesus called, you know, I'm actually misspeaking. They did have the same discussion there. But he brought a little child to them, verse 2, and set it in the midst of them. And he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." So Jesus Christ takes the concept of potential. When we think about potential, we think about maximizing. We think about being the best that we can be. Again, what can I do with what I've been given? What can I do? What can I make out of what I'm seeing? What I'm seeing in the mirror? What I'm seeing before me? What is the potential here? And Jesus Christ kind of turns it on his head and he's like, you know, take a different look at potential. Take a different look at that aspect or the concept of kings and priests that you're thinking of. Receive someone like this little child. Have this mindset. Luke chapter 22. This is the passage that I was thinking of earlier when I said it was during the Passover time. Luke chapter 22. We'll start in verse 24. Luke chapter 22. Verse 24. Now there was a dispute among them, the disciples, as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. When we look at potential, very often the commonality, if you look through these scriptures, you go back over them again, think about what we've just read, is we think about a position. Could I be a teacher? Could I be a king? Could I be a priest? I've heard it multiple times myself when we're talking about what is our potential. Our potential is to be kings and priests, right? Maybe? Yes? Maybe? We hear this a lot. We look and we say, okay, what am I and what can I do with this? What can I become? What can I potentially be? I want to kind of take that and look at it and think about that for the rest of the message from a different perspective. Because when God looks at potential, He's not saying, oh, I see someone who can open the door in the kingdom of God. I see somebody who can be a king, or I see somebody who can be a priest. God looks at things a little bit different. That is part of it. That position is part of it. That can happen. But there's something else. When Jesus Christ had the young child that was brought before Him, there's something else that God wants us to look at. And that's going to be the second part of what we're talking about today. How does God define our potential? We can get so caught up in who's the greatest. We can get so caught up in who's going to be there, who's not going to be there, who was there first, who knows more, who has more seniority, who is better at this, well, you're not maximizing your potential, but you are. And oh, well, maybe you're growing a little bit, right? So we look at things kind of in that perspective when we talk about potential. The wonderful thing. You can take the parable of the talents. You can take the parable of the wicked servant. You can look at these individuals and they were given something to do. The workers in the vineyard is another great parable about this. But there's a good reminder in all of those that it's not just about position. It's not about maximizing things, because our God, surprise, surprise, is our Father. And think about this from that perspective. You're a dad, you're a mom, you're a kid, aspiring to be a dad or mom. Think about, if you're a kid, how much your parents love you. If you're a parent, think about how much you love your kid. And short of being an Isaac and a Rebecca, and you're like, oh, I love this one more, and I love that one more, which we all say that we don't want to do, right? But you want your children to succeed, and you recognize that they all have different acumen, they have different abilities. But there's one commonality. They are your kid. Your parents love you very much. My parents love me. Our parents love each and every one of us. So how does God define our potential? Let's think about it from that mindset of Him as our Father. God says, instead of what can I become? God says, what can this person be changed into? So by comparison, right, you take an old piece of really compressed carbon. And we as a human, we look at that and we say, ah, I could polish this. I could cut this. My wife is going to love that on her finger. It's going to be a beautiful diamond, right? But guess what? It's still a piece of compressed carbon, right? You just cut it and polished it. That's how we think of potential. We look at it, it's raw, and we say, what can this become? But we're stuck as humans. The physical side of us, the carnal mind that we have, says, well, I could turn this rock into a prettier rock. God says, you've got a rock for a heart, and I'm going to change it into something else. I'm going to change it into flesh. Totally different. He says, you are dust, and I'm going to make you into something physical. You're physical, and I'm going to change you into something else. Our potential is not limited to being a king or a priest or a teacher or an astronaut or any of these positions. That's not how God looks at potential. And we shouldn't limit our thinking to that. Because God wants something better for us. Better than being a king, better than being a priest. Those things come. But it's better than that. Do not be so tunnel visioned in how we think about what our potential is. It's not just that. We talked about humanly when we look at potential, we have that concept of self-actualization, right? Reaching our full potential. We blossom. We become this great thing. Right? God looks at potential from a different aspect. One of transformation. And here's the definition, actually, of transformation. If you Google it, we talked about Google earlier, says, quote, in molecular biology, the genetic alteration of a cell resulting from the direct uptake and incorporation of exogenous DNA from its surroundings or other genetic material from its surroundings via the cell membrane. So it, when a cell takes in something from outside, becomes different. Right? We talked about man looks at rock, man sees diamond. God looks at human, God looks at dirt, sees human, God looks at human, sees potential. God sees what we can become. That's the essence of creating a new entity. We see that if you look around in creation, you can see that. You've got a sperm, you've got an egg, you have a new entity. Of and by themselves cannot become anything. Right? They're incomplete. We just go as humans and we take something and we make something else out of it, but it is essentially still what it is. It is, at its core, still a physical thing. It's not something different. God wants to make something different. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. It's important to note that God has been thinking this way about us for millennia. This is not a New Testament concept. God didn't just say all of a sudden, whoa, I really messed up that first time. I want to now all of a sudden change how I treat people, how I look at human beings, and so it's going to be different. God wanted something else, and he put this in place from the very beginning. And he said, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every other creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So when we're talking about potential, we're talking about how God looks at potential. We're talking about how God looks at us. He created us with the express desire and plan, aside from every other bit of creation that he did over those 6 days, prior to the Sabbath, right? But over the 6 days of creating physical things, God did not create anything else with the potential of being in his image, with the potential of being like him. This is different. And then he then took what he created in his image and he says, you have dominion and rulership and responsibility over everything else that I've created. So God made us different from the beginning because of the potential that he also built into his plan. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. It is so important for us to understand what God wants. If you're still thinking about, hopefully you're still thinking about, if you're a kid, think about how much your parents love you. If you're an adult with kids, think about how much you love your kids. Remember that. Because so much, I believe, gets lost in the translation of the Bible when we forget that God is our dad. That he loves us. And he cares for us, and he wants us to be able to reach the potential that he has outlined for us. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. Verses 6 we're going to read through to 17. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. And this is how we think. This is how humanly we think. We're trying to put that behind us. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because we talked about it, you can be wallowing about, you can be floating in this life without vision. There's the proverb, without vision, the people perish. They cast off restraint. They're going to do whatever. You have to have leadership. You have to have vision. You have to have a purpose. And God made us to want that purpose and to seek that. And you can't have that purpose without understanding at the very core what our potential is. Because the carnal mind, verse 7, is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. We're different, but we're looking forward to something else, to reaching our potential. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him, verse 11, who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit which dwells in you. Therefore, this is the exciting part. This is the part where we get to that potential. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons or daughters of God. God wants kids. He wants a family. His kids will have varying positions. Kings, priests, teachers, lots of stuff. There's always something to do. But the commonality is, God wants kids. I don't know if any of you have wanted to have kids and couldn't have kids. If you've tried, or you waited, or you're a grandparent, you're like, give me grandchildren. I want to have the babies. I want to hold them. My sister is here. I know that there are times where she's like, where's Levi? I haven't seen him. There's a love and a desire to be around kids. And Christ brought that child to him. He said, be like this child. Have this mentality. God wants kids, and He wants you to think and recognize and acknowledge. He wants all of us to do this and realize that I'm your dad, and I want you here, and I want you to grasp that this is your potential. That other stuff will come. And I've told my son, and I'm sure you tell your kids, or you've heard it from your parents, that stuff will fall in place. It'll be okay. It'll work itself out. Just do this. And it'll work out. And God wants us to say, God wants us to understand that that stuff will work out. He wants us in His family. He wants us to be able to be there. Don't worry about who gets 10 cities, 5 cities. Don't worry about who has what talents right now. Know that our potential, at the very core, most importantly, is to be in God's family. He wants kids. And everything that He does, if you read through, you will hear the heart of a father that hurts. You will hear Him begging His people, His children, to listen. And it'll get you emotional. It should. If you realize how much God wants us there. I'm getting choked up thinking about it. Because it is an intense thing. Let's take this back to going through the spring holy days. We talked about the sacrifice. We talked about what we get to do then as we start to take in Jesus Christ's sacrifice and His righteousness through the unleavened bread. And we're taking that in. And yet, He sacrificed before we did that. Because He loves us. If you have kids, or if you're a kid and you look at your parents, you're like, I really like to have that expensive set of shoes. Or I would really like to be able to give my kid that. And we sacrifice, don't we? Maybe as a kid we start working. Maybe we recognize that our parents can't get something for us. And so maybe we don't ask. But that desire, the desire to take care and the desire to love and provide is still there. And it's very, very strong. I don't know where we left off here. Verse 15 of Romans chapter 8. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. If you look here, when we're talking about sonship, adoption through the Spirit, it says nothing about position. When we think about potential, we tend to think about positions. When God thinks about potential, God thinks, my family's going to be so big. It's going to be great. I'm going to get to share this joy with so many. And He wants that none would perish, but that we all would receive, we would all come to repentance and receive everlasting life. That's what He wants for us. Let's go to Revelation 21. You see this again. We don't want to limit what we see as our potential or how we view potential based on our human, carnal way of thinking. And we are very inventive. You can see all the things that man has created. And, you know, we've made a lot of things. We have maximized the potential of a lot of things that we see. I mean, you now have full electric cars. You've got nuclear power plants that do amazing things. We create, and you have submarines that run on nuclear power. We do all these amazing things. And so we're like, woo, I'm really imaginative. I'm inventive. I can self-actualize. When in reality, that's just scratching the surface. Guess what? God can make all of us and every other bit of creation that we could ever possibly think of. It's a little bit better than making a nuclear submarine. A little bit, you know. So we want to make sure that we're looking at this stuff and looking at our potential and our life and the lives of those around us in this room, the lives of the individuals that cut you off on the highway, the lives of the person who's taking forever at the bank teller, right? People have this potential. God may not be calling everybody now, but He's calling everybody in their time, and He's calling everybody when it's best for them to be able to be successful. But we have this potential. Every human being who doesn't just bold-faced tell God, no, take a hike, has this potential. Revelation 21, verse 3. So I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. They shall be His people. This is what God has wanted. He wanted it with ancient Israel. He wants it with us today. And it's going to happen in the future. And we're looking forward to that. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear. And we read about what it's going to be like. Verse 7, He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I haven't adopted. I've heard that the process is very arduous. I won't say arduous, but it's difficult. It takes a lot of time. If you're looking for a family, I have a number of friends that have been adopted. And they've talked about the relief that you get when you're there in a family and you know that you're loved and you know that you're accepted and you actually are a part of that family when you didn't have one before. We read that we cry out, the Spirit that God has given us helps us to cry out, that spirit of adoption. We're looking for a dad. We're looking for a family. And He's willing and He wants us to be there. He wants us to maximize that potential. He wants us to accept that. 1 John 3, verse 1. First John chapter 3 verse 1. Now let's start at 28 verse of chapter 2. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. Everyone who practices righteousness is His kid. He's their dad. Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty strong. Our potential is not wrapped up in some position. Our potential is wrapped up and tied very closely with God wanting a family and saying, please, come. I want you to realize that I want you in my family. We are out there and we're foster kids, we're orphans, we're sojourners. So many different analogies that we see in the scriptures. That's where we are. And God says, hey, I want you to come in. I want you to be in my family. I want you to be clothed. I want to feed you. I want to take care of you. Just popped into mind the parable of the wedding feast. Guess what he does? He invites people in, and at that time at the weddings, they would give them the clothes, they would give them the food, they would give them everything to be able to be there. And haven't we just gone through, in the spring holidays, the opportunity to think about the fact that God gives us everything to be able to be here? We get to eat cardboard for a week, unless you make it at home yourself. It might not be cardboard then. But we get to eat that and realize that this, oddly enough, something that might be distasteful in our mouth, is life. It represents life. It represents something that we wouldn't usually go for. No, not my choice. I like the fluffy stuff. It tastes so sweet. It's a different kind of peanut butter jelly sandwich. Right? But that's not what we typically go for. And God says, I know it's not what you're going for, but realize, if you do this, if you accept this, this adoption opportunity that I'm giving you, this is going to maximize your full potential. This is going to get you to self-actualize in a way that is far beyond anything that we as humans think of. It's not about being there and ruling with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. That'll happen, but it's not about that. It's about something so much more important. At the very core of how we think about our relationship with God, why we think we're sitting in this room, if you and I don't realize that it's because we have a dad that wants us, then we need to start changing our mindset to think about that. We need to look in the scriptures and see the relationship that he wants with us and not let that other mentality, that other perspective on it, limit that relationship that he wants. He doesn't want kings and priests to sit there and rule with a rod of iron with his son. He wants family. Because as family, we'll understand, you know what? What do we do as a family? What do we do as God's family? We serve. We take care of people. Because that's what we do as a family. But that's something that you do as a family. Those are positions and responsibilities that you dole out as a family. You take out the garbage. You cut the veggies. You whatever. We have family responsibilities. But we're all there in the family. And we do what a family does. It's not about the position. Concluding, let's go over to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 9. It says, then his disciples, Luke chapter 8, verse 9, his disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? Because Jesus was speaking in parables, and they weren't getting it. He was speaking in parables to the masses of individuals. And Jesus says to them, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables. Seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. This sums up the two ways of thinking about potential that we've talked about so far. Because there's a human way of thinking, and we don't grasp the deeper aspect of the relationship or the potential that God wants for us. We're going, oh, so he's talking about planting grain. Oh, so he's talking about smart people and wise people and not so wise people with filling their lamps with oil. They totally should have got oil earlier. I get that. That's not what, you know, that's not how God thinks. And so you have this split. We need to make sure that we're thinking about things, that we're looking at things the same way that God does. It says, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. To us it has been given to really understand and grasp and internalize what our potential is. Because you can go out and spend the rest of your life reading 832 million different ways of maximizing your potential and finding what your potential is and going to motivational speakers, events, and asking people, taking aptitude tests, whatever you want to do. And it's not going to give you the answer. It's not going to say, well, you know what? Based on your profile here, you would be really good at being a plumber. You are going to maximize your potential if you do that. You know what? You're going to maximize your potential if you start your own business. There are all sorts of things that people can tell us that are going to maximize our potential. God wants us to recognize that our potential lies very closely within the concept of family. And not just any family. His family. And He wants us to recognize that He wants us in His family. Each and every one of us that are here, each and every one of the individuals that aren't here, God would like to have in His family. He wants us. He wants people to recognize that He wants us. Not about a position, not about being here first, not about working in the vineyard since the first hour or the 12th hour or so much longer than those other people. It's not about having all of these things that we take to create division, people within the walls, people without the walls, none of that matters. If we internalize the relationship that God wants with us, that He is our Father, and that He wants us to be His kids, and He wants kids, and He wants us as His kids, that should guide how we look at the rest of what we do or why we do it. There are times that is because I said so situation. There are other times that we get explanation, just like in real life. But God wants us there. He wants us to change our mindset from that of self-actualization to one of transformation. Because God wants to transform us. Our potential is very great. Let's not limit how we look at that. In the next message I'll be giving this afternoon, we're going to be looking at what is our purpose, which is very distinctly different from what our potential is. So we talked about potential today, being in the family of God and remembering that. Let's remember that as a core, and we'll talk about purpose in the next message.